Welcome to Talk Nation Radio, a half-hour discussion on politics, human rights, and the environment. I'm Dori Smith. David Swanson joins us this time for a frank discussion on the effort to impeach President George W. Bush.
You need something dramatic to turn out voters in an off-year election. Impeachment is overwhelmingly popular and not just supported, but passionately supported by the vast majority of Democrats. 85% in the Zogby poll want congressional candidates who back impeachment.
David Swanson is a board member of Progressive Democrats of America and co-founder of the AfterDowningStreet.org Coalition. He serves on the executive council of the Washington-Boston Newspaper Guild. His website is davidswanson.org. David, tell us what is going on Capitol Hill right now as the impeachment discussion heats up again.
Well, it's heated up in the media because Senator Russ Feingold of Wisconsin has introduced a resolution in the Senate to censure President Bush, that is to reprimand President Bush for blatantly violating the law in wiretapping Americans without court approval. And as a result, the issue of accountability and the issue of impeachment has been raised in a big new way in the media, and people are talking about it. Congressman John Conyers, as you know, introduced a censure of both Bush and Cheney in the House a couple of months back, and the media didn't bat an eye. And he also introduced a resolution to have an investigation and make recommendations on impeachment. And there are 30 Congress members currently co-sponsoring that House Resolution 635. And one of my hopes is that this uproar in the Senate now will prod some more members of the House to get on board.
Now, as it happens, David, I did read over the Conyers report just this morning, and I noticed that thousands of Americans have also signed on as citizen co-sponsors to House Resolution 635. Talk about that process.
Well, Congressman Conyers is collecting those signatures on his site, and you'll remember back last spring when he was able to collect, with the help of us and many other groups, a half million signatures on a letter asking President Bush about the Downing Street memo, and the president has yet to reply to that one. And Congressman Conyers' proposal is to investigate a great number of issues, including the launching of the war based on apparently lies and the conduct of the war. And then there are these other issues of imprisonment and torture and spying and the ports deal and the negligence before 9/11 and before Katrina. I mean, there's a laundry list of issues that citizens around the country want investigated and want the administration held accountable for. Senator Feingold picked the one that looked most likely to reach across the aisle and have bipartisan support, and instead he's having a heck of a time even getting Democratic support.
Now, that seems to have happened rather instantaneously. It seemed CNN and the other major networks came right out and said the Feingold request for censure amounted to politics or was overreaching or that he would not have support among other Democrats. What do you make of that sort of instantaneous response from the mainstream press?
I think the response itself is nonsense and destructive. I don't think that politics is a dirty word, and I think that if a senator wants to run for president or wants to run for re-election and steps forward and does what the public, the majority of the public, is demanding, that's a good thing. You know, politics is a bad word if he does not do that, if he goes and attends dinners with billionaires and does what they want rather than what the vast majority of the public wants, then go ahead and use politics as a dirty word. But, you know, the interesting thing is that this is in the media at all, and that is a step forward, a huge step forward. And I don't know whether that's primarily because the senator is a senator rather than a Congress member, or because Bush has fallen so low in the approval ratings and the scandals have piled up one on top of another in recent weeks. but for whatever reason, the media has deemed this worth talking about. And given the state of the major media outlets in this country, that's a step forward.
Now, in terms of the political situation in general, we've seen questions being asked, and it's almost as if the questions are as important as the answer. For instance, people have asked, well, why a censor? Shouldn't we just move to impeachment? Another question that I've seen on the net has been, why impeach or why try to censor if there's no way to do it with a Republican Congress? And finally, we see this issue of the media, and without the media being cooperative or interested in sharing the broader story, and of course we see that in their failure to cover what Representative Conyers has been doing all these months. If the media isn't there, why bother? What are your thoughts about those kinds of questions?
Yeah, well, that's a bunch of them. I'll try to address the whole range. In terms of why not impeach rather than censure, I think absolutely we need to impeach, but this is a step in the right direction. A senator cannot introduce articles of impeachment or even start an investigation. That's something for the House. The senator could openly advocate for the House to do that, and he absolutely should, but Senator Feingold has taken an appropriate step, and it's a good step in the right direction in that it raises this whole issue, and I understand Senator Harkin is supporting him. That's 2 out of 100, so 98 to go. In terms of why we should try to impeach when it's not possible, well, that line of thinking, I understand the wisdom behind it, but it's really to fundamentally give up on having a democracy. You know, we have to at some point set aside being amateur pundits and spectators and be citizens. And there has never been significant social change accomplished that didn't look like it was impossible. There's no law that says we cannot get all the Democrats in the House and 15 of the Republicans to put the Constitution above the current president. And I'm certain that we will get more than 15 Republicans before we get every Democrat. Those won't be the exact proportions. But this has to be done. There's nothing we can responsibly do as citizens than to push for impeachment and removal from office with everything we've got. These people are bombing cities flat in Iraq. They are targeting civilians. People are dying. To set this aside until we have an election would be disgraceful partisan politics. It would also be faulty partisan politics in that this issue is a huge winner for Democrats. 85% of Democrats want congressional candidates who back impeachment. So the strategy is not just irresponsible, it's mistaken. In terms of the media, the media is crucial. We have to get this into the media and make it safe in the media, or Congress will not do it. Congress obeys the media when the media opposes 80, even 90% of the public on various issues. So until we conquer the media, we will not win this. But we can do that in part by using media outlets that are democratic and are open to discussions of these issues like this one. And by using the internet and the progressive radio stations and the few publications we've got to force the issue into the so-called mainstream media.
Now, we've been basically going through the arguments against, and I do want to get to the arguments for, looking at impeachment, looking at further censure of George W. Bush, and people have tended to say, and Dick Cheney, too. But I do want to note that the polls have been very interesting in terms of how the question is asked. And if we look at the Zogby poll, even back in January of 2006, we see that the way the question was asked, you know, by Zogby, if President Bush wiretapped American citizens without the approval of a judge, do you agree or disagree that Congress should consider holding him accountable through impeachment? Now, we notice there's no use of the term terrorism or war on terror or security in that sentence. So just talk about what that says about the American people, because 52% agreed with that statement.
Yeah, I'm familiar with these questions because my colleagues and I drafted them, but we did so in negotiations with Zogby, and there have been many cases where we have been unable to get Zogby to poll on impeachment at all, regardless of how the question was done. And the one poll that we commissioned from Ipsos, we have been unable to get them to address impeachment again at all. And we have been turned down flat for money or for free by Gallup and Harris and the Post and the rest of them. You know, back when nobody wanted Clinton impeached, dozens of polls were done. All the mainstream polling companies and media outlets were polling constantly. They couldn't get more than 27% of Americans to want Clinton impeached on a question worded the same way. If Clinton lied about sex, do you want him impeached? And now we have a majority, but we can't get the media outlets to cover it, much less to do the endless saturation news reporting that we had with the absurd Clinton impeachment. And I should say I'm not a defender of Clinton. I wanted him impeached, just not for that ridiculous reason. The other thing that you brought up was Cheney, and the number one resistance or hesitation I hear around the country to impeaching Bush is, what about Cheney? And, you know, Cheney is running things now. To have him with his 18% approval rating out as the public face of the administration would be tremendous politically, but it's not going to happen. If we get a real investigation of either one of them, it will incriminate the other one. They are both going to be impeached and hopefully removed from office, though that's a separate step. So we will be facing President Hastert or President Pelosi. But the important thing is that whoever's in that office know that we can hold them accountable, that they have to be afraid of us rather than us continuing to be afraid of them.
And then I think the thinking goes, but wouldn't failure work the other way and sort of reinforce the extreme level of presidential powers that have been assumed here?
Well, I think sitting back and doing nothing would certainly accomplish that. You know, we have a constitution that sets up our government and makes impeachment central to a system of checks and balances, a way for the legislative branch to hold the executive or judicial branch accountable. And we have a standard for what is an impeachable offense. And we currently have solid evidence that the highest possible high crime or misdemeanor has been committed. That is, taking a nation to an illegal, aggressive war on the basis of lies. And then piled on top of that, we have the president openly confessing to violating the FISA law with the spying. We have the imprisonment without charge. We have the torture. We have the war crimes. We have a laundry list. And you get into issues of the negligence prior to Katrina or 9/11. There's a long list of impeachable offenses and of abusing power, so that if we do not impeach now, we are taking impeachment out of the Constitution. And we can censure and then impeach. We can attempt to impeach and fail and then attempt again. But to sit back and do nothing is, frankly, what the Germans did in the 30s.
David Swanson, it occurs to me that this is the perfect time to talk about politics in the states in advance of the 2006 and 2008 elections. And we see some very interesting developments in the state of Connecticut. March 15th, 2006, David Lightman, the Washington bureau chief of the Hartford Courant, has a front page story. It's a headline, Bush Censor, Democrats Tempted. And the first line I want to read to you, Representative John B. Larson says he could be persuaded to vote to censor or even impeach President Bush. But first, the first district Democrat wants to know more about Bush's domestic wiretapping. He wants answers about the Iraq War. Now, we know those answers are out there, and we know that the answers are terrible for this president and his vice president. And yet, we see resistance on the part of the leaders in the Democratic Party in the system, the antiquated system, some would say, in Connecticut. We have U.S. Senator Christopher Dodd hesitating, and we have U.S. Senator Joseph Lieberman coming straight out against this idea of censor and impeachment.
We do not have a single Congress member from Connecticut among the 30 who are co-sponsoring House Resolution 635, which is John Conyers' bill to create an investigation, to learn the facts. And, you know, it's okay to talk about it, but if you're not going to co-sponsor that bill, you're not walking the talk. Speaking of Lieberman, there's going to be a march to his office in protest of his pro-war policies on the 19th of this month, and you can get that information at afterdowningstreet.org. The thing about the states and the localities now is that that's really where the action is on impeachment. And there are five towns in Vermont that last week passed resolutions in favor of impeachment, which led Congressman Bernie Sanders to sign on to House Resolution 635. And there are activists in states around the country encouraging their state legislatures to send impeachment charges to the House of Representatives, which is one legally binding way that you can start the impeachment process.
What are some of the things that constituents can do to help take the heat off of these candidates, some of whom are going to be running without much money? Others will have the money, but not necessarily the support of the Democratic machine in their state. What can constituents do to help these candidates make their case with the party and with the people of their states?
If they look at the polls, again, they will see that the vast majority of Democrats and the majority of independents, in fact, a majority overall, support impeachment. And we have created a political action committee called Impeach PAC, which is at impeachpac.org, impeachpac.org. And we are collecting money and giving it to congressional candidates who are committed to impeaching Bush and Cheney. And that is clearly something that Democratic candidates are going to be interested in doing. We've endorsed three so far, and we're looking at over a dozen others who want our endorsement. The general thinking goes, first you get elected, and then you do what the people want. This is a typical Democratic strategy advice on how to lose elections. You know, Democratic strategists are basically paid to advise candidates to lose elections. And they are currently advising that you keep it all hush-hush until after you're elected, and then if you want to impeach the president, great, because then you might have a majority. You will not have a majority behaving that way. Democrats have been running as the non-Republicans with no mission of their own for years and have been losing at it. You need something dramatic to turn out voters in an off-year election. Impeachment is overwhelmingly popular and not just supported, but passionately supported by the vast majority of Democrats, 85% in the Zogby poll, want congressional candidates who back impeachment. It looks like a way to win for me.
I want to ask you about Karen Hughes, Undersecretary of State for Public Diplomacy and Public Affairs. Karen Hughes tends to repeat herself, but when speaking on PBS about the issue of permanent U.S. bases in Iraq, she said, "We want to bring our people home as soon as possible, but not before they finish the job." I just wonder at this point, what is the job? I mean, it seems to me that if Democratic voters or candidates are concerned about not being able to express themselves in a way that seems confident and in a way that seems to help support people in their concerns about security matters and the war, it seems to me that the focus should really be on the poor showing that this administration has made in terms of handling this war, and now the absolutely astonishing things that are being said. You know, in light of all of the news about the catastrophe that is Iraq, we see the Joint Chiefs saying that things are going well, and we see Karen Hughes that the U.S. troops have to finish the job. I mean, does anybody really know what the job is at this point, you know?
Yeah, almost half of U.S. soldiers in Iraq openly tell pollsters that they don't know what the mission is. But I think you hit the important point that Democrats don't want to be called weak on national security, and their biggest fear and their biggest resistance to doing what people want is they're afraid of being called weak by the media. Now, it's gotten to the point where the media is admitting that Democrats look weak because they refuse to ever oppose President Bush, despite him being at 30% in the polls. So it's a problem that the Democrats are going to have to absolutely reverse, and Senator Feingold has taken an important step in that direction. It's interesting that you mentioned no permanent bases, and I'm certain that you will not get a clear answer out of Karen Hughes on that, but there are a number of bills in Congress, one of them from Congresswoman Barbara Lee, calling simply for an official policy of no permanent bases in Iraq, and there are very few Congress members co-sponsoring those bills. And the same point is being raised today on the floor of the House in amendments to the supplemental spending bill. You know, we are looking at tossing another $80 billion down this hole, and there are members, including Barbara Lee, putting forth amendments calling for no permanent bases. And votes on those issues will be recorded, and they will be compiled with all the other votes on the war issues on the website of UFPJ, United for Peace and Justice, which is unitedforpeace.org. It's very, very difficult to get Republicans or even Democrats to commit to no permanent bases while everyone, including the White House, is pretending that that those are not being built.
And let's just end by commenting on the degree to which we might hear the call for impeachment being echoed around the nation this coming weekend as protesters and others mark the third anniversary of the U.S. in Iraq. Just wanted to ask about that. And then also, finally, to ask you, David Swanson, about the whole issue of the success of progressive Democrats right now. Is it possible to build a new Democratic Party from the shell of the old?
Well, for the past couple of years, half the signs and posters and shirts and stickers and buttons you've seen at anti-war demonstrations have called for impeachment of Bush or Cheney or both. And that is going to be increasingly the case. And we've now reached a point when organizations in the peace movement are officially promoting impeachment as well as ending the war, and some of them recognizing that we may not be able to end the war without removing Bush and Cheney from office. And I find that encouraging. In my hometown here in Virginia, we will be having a march for peace and impeachment next Monday, and that will be the case in a number of towns around the country. And local cities and towns are collecting signatures on petitions and passing resolutions now, not just to end the war, which has been done in hundreds of cities, but to impeach Bush and Cheney, and I find that encouraging. Progressive Democrats, you know, I'm on the board of a group called Progressive Democrats of America, and it is rapidly growing, and it is achieving some victories, but it has a huge uphill fight, and many, many people are giving up on the Democratic Party. I think it's important, though, to realize that creating a powerful third party is going to be just as hard, if not harder, than creating an actual opposition party out of the Democratic Party. And frankly, I don't care which we do. And most of the work to be done is the same, whichever of those long-term goals we have in mind. But we clearly do not have an opposition party now. And one way to try to get there that is a live possibility in Connecticut and a few other states is through fusion. And I think that if we can get progressive candidates on the ballot, on the Democratic Party line, and on the line of a more progressive party like the Working Families Party, and get victories that way, that may be one way to help save our democracy.
David Swanson, thanks so much for joining us on Talk Nation Radio.
Thanks for having me.
David Swanson is Washington Director of Democrats.com and a board member of Progressive Democrats of America. A former newspaper reporter, he worked as communications director for Dennis Kucinich's 2004 presidential campaign. For Talk Nation Radio, I'm Dori Smith. Talk Nation Radio is produced in the studios of WHUS Stores, radio for the people at the University of Connecticut. WHUS.org to listen live Wednesdays at 5 p.m. TalkNation.org for transcripts and discussion.